Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In fact, we're coming up on the anniversary, January 30th, where the Vancouver Canucks sent Bo Horvat, and I'm using that as an example, to the Islanders, because today I wanted to talk to you about what to give. We always talk about getting, you know, let's get Miller from Vancouver. Or Seth Jones. So we mention all these names, but we don't talk as much about what it would take and giving. So I mentioned that anniversary because Bo Horvat at the time, very good for Vancouver, captain of the team. So what did the Islanders have to give to get Bo Horvat? And just as a refresher for Stars fans, it was Anthony Beauvillier, Atu Rutu, and a protected 2023 first round draft pick. So I also pulled all the Stars draft picks for the next upcoming years. And this upcoming year, they have a first, a third, a fifth, a sixth, and seventh. The second round is part of the Max Domi old trade. 2026, a first, second, third, fourth is still up in the air, fifth and a sixth. And then 27, 28, you have all of your draft picks. So that's kind of an overview as far as currency with draft picks. And Seth Jones was in the news this week as far as Chicago possibly putting them up. And it got me thinking, Sean, when you mentioned Matt Dumba, people talking about Chicago needs to take on some of that Seth Jones salary. Wouldn't it make sense that maybe Matt Dumba becomes that salary?
Maybe. To me, it's... See, I have a, and some people, because David and Robert have both written about Seth Jones and where he fits and potentially, and I think in a vacuum, Seth Jones actually would fit in Dallas. I think that is no dispute for me on that at all. I struggle with seeing the Seth Jones math work just because he makes that $9.5 million, and how much are you going to get Chicago to retain? And you have to remember that I think people like there are other like it's not just cap hit and dollars and all that stuff. There's other things you have to account for too, right? So each NHL team gets three retention spots for retained salary, and Chicago's already using one. And so if they retain salary on Seth Jones and they do it for five more years, that's something you're going to have to deal with and work for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if all of a sudden you are sending Seth Jones to a divisional rival, someone who you would hope if you're Chicago that you are competing with in 3 to 4 years in the Connor Bedard window, whatever you want to call it. I feel like that comes with a premium. Like if you're Davidson, the GM of the Blackhawks, I don't know why you go and make things easier for a divisional opponent. And I'm not a big believer that you don't trade in the division. Like I think you make the best trade available, but I do think it comes into play where it's like, okay, there are things at play here that go beyond just the cap hit and the fit. So I also from a Chicago perspective, I don't know. The Dumba to me is more so of going somewhere where there's a team that looks at him as a, this guy can help our bottom pair, and it goes somewhere at, like, it's a weird thing, right? Like, the Dumba is a seller slash trader at the, like, Dumba is something you're selling. You're kind of a seller at the same time as being a buyer at the same time. You're trying to sell Dumba to be a bigger buyer. And I just don't know how that works with Chicago. It's just, it's a fascinating dynamic.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand what you're saying.
I hope that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. It does. I just wonder maybe if, like, the Stars could counter if I was,
yeah,
you know, and say, like if I'm Chicago, I'm like, okay, I'm taking this player off your hands, and at the same time, I am avoiding that payout over 5 years. Then I'm just basically saying, yeah. I'm taking on this player, and it helps them because they get rid of Seth Jones and that salary cap figure, and they only have Dumba essentially for, you know, a year and a half now.
Yeah, I just see no way Dallas can take on that Jones cap
hit while signing just, who they have to sign.
Yeah, you have to sign Wyatt Johnston. I just see no way that works financially, or it doesn't mess up the long-term plan. Now, let's be clear on something else, because we know it's the place Jim Nill loves to dive into the most, is the, how much does Jim Nill love the buyouts? The guys right off buyouts, right? Right,
yes,
Gavin?
So, yes, like, he really does.
So what are the, would it surprise you at all if Seth Jones maybe got bought out by Chicago in this year or next, and at some point all of a sudden ends up as a star off the buyout? Because that is way more up Jim Nill's playbook to get Seth Jones for me.
That makes sense. That absolutely makes sense. And I think, you know, this would be an interesting destination due to Jones's familiarity, his offseason home. So there's a lot of things that Seth Jones would probably like about being in the Frisco Dallas area.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's get into your Substack, because I think this is a really interesting article, and I want to take some quality time on this. So you wrote on your Substack, which came out, about the sports media world and how crazy it's become. And this came from the Steve Dangle podcast, a very popular hockey podcast. And on that podcast, one of the hosts, Adam Wilde, made a comment regarding Jason Robertson, that he was difficult to work with and potentially had someone in his orbit that would make the Dallas Stars forward, as you put, unattractive to the Vancouver Canucks. So people, credit to you, Sean, reached out to you and said, Sean, what's going on? Have you heard this? What's, you know, so you had multiple people. So then you addressed it. And why don't you take it from there as far as how interesting the sports media landscape has been? Because nowadays you say something and it's almost certain that what you say or retort or no, that's not the case will automatically get back to the person who initially said it.
Yeah, and it's the whole, like, and it's, as I kind of put in that piece, and I, like, it's the whole spot where it's never been, it's, this is good, right? Like, it's never been easier to get a platform, because anyone, if you're willing to put in the work in, right, there's a lot of the guardrails, Gavin, there's a lot of the past barriers that were there, right, where, like, let's use you, for example, Gavin, for something you deal with. You work at a station where, say, someday, you need to hire a new host, and I won't even say a sport because all of your people are good right now, and you don't want to be in that space anytime soon. Say you need to hire a new host.
Yes.
In the past, in the previous era, you'd be like, all right, well, I know of people who have worked at radio stations, and that's my pool, right? That's where people have clips from, right?
Yep.
We're at the spot now where if you're smart and you go start a podcast and do something, you can show off your talent to the world.
Absolutely.
And you can go find that person.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if you've made hires like that yet or in the past, but like at some point, right, Gavin, either you have or you will make a hire like that at some point in the role you're in, where it'll be like, hey, this guy may not be, this guy or girl might not be a radio person from a traditional legacy, whatever you call it, radio, but they are, they're damn good at talking about this. And we know from this. And so, there is a great, like, what the Steve Dangle podcast is it's a it's something where it's a guy who's, Steve is a huge Leafs fan and has turned it into a business. And that's really impressive.
Yeah.
Where it starts to become weird in this business that we're in now is the line for what is, who actually has information and who actually reports things and everything like that has never been more blurred, right? Like, it's one of the reasons when we're on this show, like, how many, there's many times, Gavin, where I'll be like, hey, I want to be clear. I'm not reporting. I'm not reporting this. I'm just saying, like, it would be, like I just said before with the Matt Dumba thing, like, I'm not saying the Stars are going to trade Matt Dumba. That is not what I'm reporting. I am saying, I just don't, this is what I, combination of what I would do and trying to read tea leaves. This is me and you talking on a podcast about it, not a, and so when you go and say, and you try, and you effectively say, and you have a large platform. I looked up, like, they've got typical YouTube episode has about 45,000 views, right? Yeah,
solid.
Yeah, really good. And they're like 10th or 15th, somewhere between 10 to 15 largest podcasts, hockey podcasts for views in the US, right? And they're in Canada. So I don't know what their views are gonna. When you go and say, oh, Jason Robertson is difficult to work with, I've heard this rumor and everything like that, you're legitimizing that. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of those things where in media we kind of get, there's too many times we get lost that our words, like, you gotta, like, people don't, and I'm gonna sound like an old curmudgeon on this, but like, people don't have enough training anymore. I think that's the other part of it, right? Like, I think there is, it's great because people can come work their way up and do that, and but there's also some other things that have gotten lost, where one of the things that I think I have success in this business is I still take a lot of those lessons from legacy media, from working at a paper, where, you know what, are you gonna go report something and you got an editor saying, like, okay, who's your source? Back this up for me. Like, go handle that. And it's a weird spot. Like, I don't know the right answer. I'm not trying to pretend to know the right answer. It's just something that, like, it's something I was thinking about, like, last night. I was driving home from the Detroit Montreal game and how this all goes and everything like that. And it's like, I think podcasts are great. It is definitely a benefit to the hockey media and sports media coverage, 100%. There's also this line of how do we find the right way to kind of be professional, not professional, right, but be responsible, right? So,
well, I think one of the issues,
I'm clearly, someone told me the other day, and I agree with them, I'm a much more succinct writer than I am a speaker.
No, not at all. I think it's a really interesting subject. I would also add that I think the payoff is much bigger than the penalty, and I use that because if he was right, then he gets all the credit. Wow, well, he had it. You know, he talked about that, but mm-hmm. will people remember and say, no, you were wrong about this? And that to me is something that people aren't necessarily as worried as they once were regarding the penalty. Therefore, they are not trained enough to check with multiple sources. So I'm very fortunate in this chair where the Spitz and Suds family makes up some amazing reporters. You are one included. And many times, I'll ask questions and try to get some background before I phrase things. And if you're not available, then David's available or Robert's available. I mean, they're terrific. Stephen Meserve down in Texas has been an amazing resource for me. So, like, different people, because I think that's the proper way to go about doing it. So at least you have some background to educate yourself as far as throwing out your opinion. But yeah, I agree with you. That is a very tough thing to throw out there, because you're not talking about play on ice. You're talking about attitude in the room. And that is very, very dangerous, because we've seen what's happened in Vancouver. And, you know, that might be self-made, but it blew up. And that's what everyone talks about when they talk about the Vancouver Canucks this year. And now people are like, you know, what's the future of Rick Tocchet? You know, that those, it kind of, you know, it explodes. So I think it was a really interesting thing that, you know, you brought up. And yeah, I don't know. So when you retorted it, did they say anything back to you?
No, they have not. And now that's their prerogative. That's up to, mm-hmm. that's up to them and everything like that. That's completely up to them. And that, it's the reason that before talking about it, I had someone reach out to double check to see if there was any want to clarify or anything like that. And so that's kind of the way I believe that's something that is important. I believe, like, I would hope if I say, like, and I've been open about this, if I say something that somebody disagrees with or whatever, like, I'm okay. I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong. That is something that I am. If all of a sudden, if Adam reaches out to me and says, "Hey, you know what? I misspoke," I'll make sure to put that out there. Hey, he misspoke, and that's the right thing to do or whatever. That's so it's. The other thing about it, Gavin, that really just kind of, I was texting with a guy who covers the Wings up here, named Sam Stockton, and I intentionally shouted Sam out.
Yeah, you did a good job with that. Yep.
And Sam is a, he's very similar to our pal Robert. Just he's up here in Detroit, and he does some stuff for the Hockey News. But Sam is not to give Sam's full situation away, but like. Sam does the work for the Hockey News, does his own Substack based on Michigan hockey, but he also has to do some other work to pay the bills, because the business model for the Hockey News sites is not one that is a full-time job. And so he puts in the work. And him and I were texting a little bit after I published the piece about things, and I just think there's too many times right now where we have the line. I just wish people sometimes would, in our business, and it's just in general, and I know I'm sounding like I'm coming off a soapbox, and I need to be better at it sometimes too. I'm not going to lie that I'm perfect, but I think there's times where we need to sometimes say, hey, this is my opinion, and this is what I'm reporting.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we don't get that. And then in the quick nature of, and even some people who, like, we get kind of the quick nature of the aggregation business that exists, and I understand that's how people get clicks and that, and even though I think that's a whole nother conversation for another day, Gavin, is whether the click-based model works or not. That's a whole nother
yeah, no,
there's a lot of things that you and I, I'm sure, we could go way inside baseball on this, that people would I don't know how many people would just start snoozing once they heard us talking. But it's the whole, oh man, I'm going to aggregate this, not take credit for it, because I think a lot of aggregators have gotten a lot better, but there's things where it's like, okay, this is not the original author, is sometimes things get through and it's not from the original author anymore.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We
face that here at the radio station, where Jerry Jones will say something and it says Jerry Jones told the Dallas Morning News, because the Dallas Morning News wrote about it. And it's like, well, that's not the original source, but, you know, I mean, it is an interesting, and I honestly, I don't know if readers care at some point. They just want information. And so that's one of the things that you go back and forth and fight. You also did point out Robert Tiffin, starsthoughts.com. Also want to plug a really interesting article today, Indie Magazine. Please check it out, completely free. And Robert talks about the Stars penalty kill, and he goes into depth about the penalty kill, tops in the league, and why. And I thought that was really interesting. They've always had a really good penalty kill the past few years, but tops in the league right now. So just wanted to plug Robert, because I know that you're close with him. I'm close with him as well. He does a great job, and I am actively I was at a dinner a couple weeks ago, Sean, and there were a couple Stars fans, and they were asking me questions, and I'm like, you got to check out starsthoughts.com, and they're what's
you
that
have, you know? Have yeah go follow like follow yeah. Robert right now, and I've even told Robert this, I don't know if he's considering it or not, but like it's his website is at some point, like, my, once again, it's Robert's story to tell and everything like that on his situation, but like, I just hope, my dream is that there's a way where this can be Robert's job.
Yeah,
I agree. That there is, that this is the spot where he can cover this team and give Stars fans a bit of the coverage they deserve from a beat writer. And I just hope the model is there to figure it out. I don't know what that model is. That's the other thing that I wanted to just bring up, Gavin, with that piece that I wrote talking about kind of the state of the sports media industry is, man, there's what you and I are talking about right now and the issues that we tackle and figure out and what you challenge, like the challenges you have as a radio station now versus like, there's going to be something new. There's going to be something new next year you deal with. Like, I mean, right now this entire industry is dealing with how do we handle the fact the Twitter algorithm is all gunked up, right? Like Twitter was never, to be clear. And so people who live in the sports media content business or whatever will know a little bit of this, but the whole like Twitter was never a great driver of clicks. Honestly, it actually wasn't. It was always,
Facebook was good for a while.
Yeah, Facebook was good. But like Twitter now, the algorithm has gotten worse where like, I'm not going to give all of my stuff out this, but like when I write a piece on my Substack, right? I will get, if a story gets 4,000 views, just to give people an idea of what it looks like. So if a story gets 4,000 views, I'll get maybe 120 of them from Twitter, and that's it.
Mm.
Like you're talking about like an algorithm that is just, it killed links and it doesn't. So that's a challenge that people like, I had this call when I had a call today with some people over at Elite Prospects today. And we were talking about, we used to use Twitter as a big way to put things out and it's just not working. Like and that's an account with 100-something thousand followers, right? And it's not driving actual back to the site. So how do you handle that? There's so many things in sports media that change all the time. And it makes all of us like rookies and not experts all at the same time. Right, Gavin?
Absolutely.
Like at some point they'll be like you, I'll occasionally talk to kids where I went to college and they'll ask like, oh, how do you do this? I'm like you're the kids who are coming up now, they've got like full blown social media classes in college.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know that better than I do. I'm a weirdo that still, I'm a weirdo that doesn't understand all of that stuff still. And so it's like, plus this stuff is like sports media, where it's going, all of this stuff. Obviously it fascinates me because it's my business and my career, my livelihood, but also because I don't know where it's going. Like it's like, one of my best friends is a banker. Right. And I know every industry changes and everything like that, but one of my best friends is a banker. If a kid asked my friend, hey, what do you do for a living and how does your job go? Like that job will be semi-similar in 20 years. Right. Like that's
true.
Like that's the way it's been. If someone says, hey, I want to go and be in sports media, man, I have no idea what this field is going to look like. And we're all going to have to evolve and adapt and all that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No, absolutely.